I'm going to read a passage now from my next book, Three Poems, which is three long prose poems. The New Spirit, the System, and the Recital are the three. And I'm going to read a short part from the middle one, the System. In fact, I think that it's in this passage that the word system occurs for the only time. It's very long, somewhat tedious poem. That's the way it goes. For many weeks, you've been exploring what seemed to be a profitable way of doing. You discovered that there was a fork in the road. So first you followed what seemed to be the less promising, or at any rate the more obvious, of the two branches, until you felt you had a good idea of where it led. Then you returned to investigate the more tangled way, and for a time its intricacies seemed to promise a more complex and therefore a more practical goal for you, one that could be picked up in any number of ways so that all its faces or applications could be thoroughly scrutinized. And in so doing you began to realize that the two branches were joined together again, farther ahead, that this place of joining was indeed the end, and that that it was the very place you set out from, whose intolerable mixture of reality and fantasy had started you on the road which has now come full circle. It has been an absorbing puzzle, but in the end all the pieces fit together, like a ghost story that turns out to have a perfectly rational explanation. Nothing remains but to begin living with this discovery, that is, without the hope mentioned above. Even this is not so easy, for the reduced mode or scope must itself be nourished by a form of hope, or hope that doesn't take itself seriously. One must move very fast in order to stay in the same place, as the Red Queen said, the reason being that once you have decided there is no alternative to remaining motionless, you must still learn to cope with the onrushing tide of time and all the confusing phenomena it bears in its wake, some of which perfectly resemble the unfinished but seemingly salvageable states of reality at cross purposes with itself that first cause you to grow restless, to begin fidgeting with various impractical schemes that were in the end, we have seen, finally reduced to zero. Yet they cannot be banished from the system any more than physical matter can, and their nature, which is part and parcel of their existence, is to remain incomplete, clamoring for wholeness. So that now two quite other and grimmer alternatives present themselves, that of staying where you are and risking eventual destruction at the hands of those dishonest counselors of many aspects, or of being swept back by them into a past drenched in nostalgia whose sweetness burns like gall, and it is a choice that we have to make. As a lost dog on the edge of a sidewalk timidly approaches first one passerby and then another, uncertain of what to ask for, taking a few embarrassed steps in one direction, and then suddenly veering to another before being able to ascertain what reception his mute entreaty might have met with, lost, puzzled, ashamed, ready to slink back into his inner confusion at the first brush with the outside world, so your aspirations, my soul, on this busy thoroughfare that is the great highway of life. What do you think to gain there merely from standing there looking worried? While the tide of humanity sweeps ever onward towards some goal, it gives every sign of being as intimately acquainted with as you are with the sharp-edged problems that beset you from every angle. Do you really think that if you succeed in looking pathetic enough, some kindly stranger will stop to ask your name and address and then steer you safely to your very door? No, I do not think you are afflicted with that kind of presumption, and yet your pitiable waif stance, that inquiring look that darts uneasily from side to side as though to ward off a blow, these do not argue in your favor, even though we both know you to be a strong, upright character, far above such cheap attempts to play on the emotions of others. And there is no use trying to tell them that the touching melancholy of your stare is the product not of self-pity, but of a lucid attempt to find out just where you stand in the fast-moving stream of traffic that flows endlessly from horizon to horizon like a dark river. We know that the pose you happen to be striking for the world to see matters nothing to you. It could just as easily be some other one, joyous looking or haughty and overbearing or whatever. It is only that you happen to be wearing this look as you arrived at the end of your perusal of the way left open to you, and it froze on you just as your mother warned you it would when you were little. And now it is the face you show to the world, the face of expectancy, strange as it seems. Perhaps Child Roland wore such a look as he drew nearer to the dark tower, every energy concentrated toward the encounter with the King of Elfland, reasonably certain of the victorious outcome, yet not so much as to erase the premature lines of care from his pale and tear-stained face. Maybe it is just that you don't want to outrage anyone, especially now that the moment of your own encounter seems to be getting closer. You can feel it in every pore, in the sudden hush that falls over the din of the busy street, and the unusual darkness in the sky, even though no clouds are apparent. Your miserable premature spring has finally turned into the real thing, confirmed by the calendar, but what a sad look it wears, especially after its promising beginnings that now seem so far back in the past. The air is moist and almost black and sharp with the chill. The magnolia petals flatten and fall off one after the other onto the half-frozen mud of the ground, where only a few spears of sickly green grass have managed to lift their heads. All this comes as no surprise. It is even somewhat of a relief, and better than the dire sequel that those precocious moments seem to promise, cataclysms instead of the ominous hush that now lies over everything. And who is to say whether or not this silence isn't the very one you requested so as to be able to speak? Perhaps it seems ominous only because it is concentrating so intensely on you and what you have to say.